If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
So much has happened in the Gaza conflict, and we just wanted to bring in Professor Chris Landsberg to just give us a sense of, you know, where all of this is happening. We will talk to some of the most recent events that are quite chilling indeed. Chairperson of Africa Diplomacy and Foreign Policy at UJ, Professor Landsberg, thanks very much for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what's happened recently in recent times. I mean, we've seen the bombing of civilians, number one, that we've been seeing for a long time. But what is starting to worry a lot is, aid workers who are coming under attack. Your reaction to what Israel is doing, and of course, subsequent to that, very quickly denying that they're responsible for it, or it wasn't a mistake, they say. It was a mistake, they say.
The only thing that I find surprising about what you've just introduced is how quick the Prime Minister of Israel, the belligerent, clearly very angry man, who is perpetuating a war and cause as much damage because his society is turning against him. Even some of his erstwhile allies are turning against him. And the thing that I suppose keeps him awake at night is whether that fragile government will hold. But let me come back to your point. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I think is surprising about the events of the last 48, 72 hours is how, without even a genuine apology, apologize to the leaders of the countries whose citizens fell peril to three clearly orchestrated attacks. Let me just remind you, the attacks on the aid workers was not one attack, mm-hmm. one targeted attack. Mm-hmm. They were three different vehicles, 800 meters and 1,500 meters to be precise, apart from each other. And when the first one was attacked, the second was attacked, the third one was attacked. So let me come to the more important question you ask. What is the method behind the madness here? There is a method, and I'm surprised that we are surprised by, and I don't mean to be critical of the way you introduced the topic, but when the war started and the Minister of Defense, just to single him out, I think the Prime Minister vowed more dangerous actions. Mm. But when the Defense Minister said, we're going to deprive and deny, quote-unquote, food, fuel, infrastructure, water, basic necessities to, quote-unquote, these animals, few doubted that they would go to this extent. I shudder to tell you that I think that's still where they are. There is no intention to bring this war to an end. Every UN resolution, including the one which the United States eventually came to support on the 24th of last month, has been ignored. They are gung-ho. And just to end with your first question, what would the intention be to go after a convoy of aid workers who incidentally reported to the Israeli army where they're going, and it's them, they have to get permission, is in fact to scare the rest of aid workers. That's why UNRWA from the United Nations has now put a 48-hour hold on aid distribution. So aid is now being used as a weapon of war and starvation. So in a nutshell, the Israelis are not relenting. The the Israelis are not relenting on this war. They are becoming more relentless to achieve the objective of ethnic cleansing and genocide.
You mentioned earlier the very fragile coalition government that he's leading, that obviously I hope and I think is pushing him into a corner. But we've also seen protests change. There is a momentum now within Israel with lots of protests. Do you think this will change Netanyahu's calculus, judging by how it's his own citizens are reacting to what's happening?
Yeah, I did mention the point to you that he is being backed in a into a corner by several factors, and I did say to you the pressures on the domestic front. So I think you mentioned such an important factor element. Right now, here's the danger of what we're sitting with. I don't have any evidence about potential numbers, but just by the sheer ferocity of the attacks and the ongoing relentless attacks, including the attacks of the tunnels which Hamas built and purportedly built and are holding the hostages. It is my view that I would not be surprised that many of the hostages have been killed in the process, right? And whether they've been killed at the hands of Hamas, but certainly I wouldn't put it past the possibility that some of them could have been killed, some of the 137 hostages. Now, if that were to be confirmed, right, that some have died, and who knows what the numbers might be, that would be further reason for him to continue the war. So why is the public turning against Prime Minister Netanyahu? They're still angry with Hamas about what happened on the 7th of October last year. But they can see the absolute insanity of a ferocious bombardment campaign which may very well kill all 137 hostages, which will give him a further alibi to continue the war. So we are here in a perpetual war by a man who is angry first and foremost that the public is reacting to, for two reasons, they're acting against Prime Minister Hamas. Just in brief, and then we can continue the conversation. First of all, it's now becoming a dominant narrative in Israel that he failed to stop the 7th of October. It's not that he failed to stop Hamas from planning it. It's that this much-vaunted, over-celebrated, great Israeli intelligence force that we all hear about, they just failed to prevent a basic and sophisticated act of terror and military attack that was planned for two full years, and they didn't pick it up, nor did they stop it. That's the first thing they're angry about. But the second thing they're angry about, they can see that what the continued bombardment is doing, apart from having sympathy for the starving Palestinians, right, is the likelihood of what I've just said to you, namely that the hostages may very well become casualties themselves. So what's the point then of continuing the war?
Let's talk about the U.S. and its very interesting and very strange flip-flopping, because, of course, they didn't use a veto. And Israel was very unhappy, saying that they're cancelling meetings with diplomats going to the U.S. But very quickly, those meetings were rescheduled, and then they met to talk about their plans going forward. But immediately after that, the U.S. continued to supply arms to Israel. And yesterday, they were reiterating facts that, you know, they don't think that Israel has actually violated international law. So they keep sending us these mixed messages. Biden had said, no, you know, what happened to aid workers is terrible and all of that. But they're just these mixed messages. Where is this going to take this war? Because the U.S. is quite central to how this war can change if they wanted it to change.
Okay. You know what? Those very last words that you know, for some reason, articulate softer than your other words, those are actually the words that you should have highlighted, right? So where will this and when will this war end? Let me just make this one point before addressing your question. Yes, the U.S. deserves to be singled out, and we'll get to that right now. And you've given us the reason why the U.S. Should be singled out. But I think the European powers are just as worried. And I make a prediction for you that in the weeks and months to come, and it all started with the absolute breathtaking boldness and bravery of South Africa. Mm. We all wondered as this war just became more grotesque and violent, which is the country that will actually stand up and take a stand against the West and against Israel in particular. I certainly am willing to say to you, I'm not scared. I'm not one of those members of the commentariat if I didn't see something coming, not to admit it. I certainly did not think it would come from South Africa. I think it would come, I thought it would come from, let's say, a Turkey, for example. But South Africa's actions, bold, moral, political actions, and it's still going to pay heavy political prices for it, has changed world politics so much upside down that I'm sure you've noticed there's almost a lack of fear or less of a fearfulness about America and Western allies. But let me come to the point you've asked, because it's a fundamental point. The purport of the alleged, as you say, the mixed messaging from America. The prediction I want to make for you is that in the weeks and months to come, both other states, but more significantly, human rights organizations and NGOs in the capitals and in the states of these Western powers, from Germany, the UK, France in particular, and others, but including America, are going to themselves be drawn to the ICJ, I predict for you, for being quote-unquote complicit in a genocide. Yes, America keep reminding us not only how important it is to give more aid, but they apparently have given more aid. And may I remind you that the makeshift harbor that they're building for food to be delivered by ship is built right next to one of the more strategic gas installations and assets of Palestine, right? So there's America's interest. So what America is doing, and that statement that you've just highlighted that they made yesterday, that they still don't think, it's because if Israel is accused and it's proven that Israel is guilty of genocide and war crimes, then by extension, all those that have given Israel weapons are also guilty. I just want to remind you that there's just breaking news that came through earlier today that the Human Rights Council in Geneva is now going to consider an arms embargo against Israel. Now, you know, no price for guessing who's likely to vote against and who's likely to vote in favor. But again, these Western powers are going to be exposed. So in a nutshell, let me say this to you. America's broader interest in the Middle East is to allow Israel to continue with the war and destroy Hamas, but also to cause so much damage to the already obliterated infrastructure so that they can send their companies in to go and do rebuilding, but more significantly, the attack on an Iranian facility in Syria yesterday, coupled with the attack or the attack on Lebanon in on Hezbollah in Lebanon, America wants to draw Iran into this war. So America has got two objectives here. It wants to see a broader conflict and bring Iran and Iran's proxies in. And America might verbally say, want Israel to be more clear. It's because they don't want to be dragged to courts of law. But America has no desire to see this war coming to an end pretty soon.
Really appreciate your insights there, Professor Chris Landsberg. He is a chairperson in Africa Diplomacy and Foreign Policy at UJ.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.